Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house on Wednesday night. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, starting with verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Amen. When you get there, say amen. A couple of your sword drillers. Amen. Praise God. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Let's pray and let's ask for God's hand upon this house tonight. Amen. Lord, we love you. God, we're thankful for your precious word, Lord. God, we ask that you would anoint it to every heart, to every need and every situation here tonight. God, speak to us through your precious word, God. Lord, we'll be sure to give you the thanks and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God. You can be seated this evening. Amen. As I was praying about this service, it was Monday night, amen, God laid this thought upon my heart, and that verse of Scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. You know, it's easy in the world that we live in to trust in ourselves. Amen. We can trust in our knowledge. We can trust in our education. Amen. If we know things, if we've been taught things, we can lean unto those things. We can trust on our talents, and we can trust in our abilities. Amen. We can, as the Scripture says, we can lean unto our own understanding. Amen. We think in our minds, and we can convince ourselves in our minds that we've got it all figured out. Amen. The reason for that is because that's what we've always been taught. Amen. From growing up, I know that I was taught that way. We've been taught to work hard. Amen. We've been taught to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Amen. We've been told that we can do anything that we set our minds to. Has anybody ever been told any of those things? I know that I have. I know growing up, I was taught that you have to work hard if you want something. If you desire something in life, you've got to work hard for it. And you can have it if you set your mind to it. And I agree with those sayings. I'm not downplaying them. But I think that we need to put a qualifier upon them. We need to work hard, but we need to make sure that we're not fighting against God's will in the work that we're doing. Amen. We need to make sure that we're seeking after God's will and His purpose for our lives. Amen. We need to pull ourselves up, but we need to remember where our strength comes from. Amen. We can't pull ourselves up if God doesn't give us the strength to do so. And we can do anything that we set our minds to so long as we are praying about those things and making sure that God doesn't have something else for us. Amen. We can get into the mentality that we know the will of God, or we assume that we know the will of God, but are we really seeking after His will? Are we really praying and asking God, God, is this your will for my life? Is this the direction that you want me to go? Is this what you desire for me? Amen. We can say things like, when I get older, I'm going to be this, or I'm going to do this. Amen. Even when we get older, amen. And maybe we decide that we're going to change careers. We're going to go do something different. We make up our mind that this is the direction that I'm going to go in. And we can begin to go in that direction without ever even checking in with God. Amen. The Bible tells us that we are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. Whenever we're making plans or changes or course corrections in our life, we need to make sure that we're seeking God first. Amen. That we're seeking His face and His will before we seek our own will. Amen. Amen. When we like to feel like we've got it all figured out. Amen. I know that I do, especially us guys. Amen. We like to think that we've got everything all figured out. We like to think that we've got everything laid out the way it's supposed to be, and we know we've got contingency plans. We've got, you know, if this happens, I'm going to do this, and if that doesn't work, then I'm going to go this direction, and we've got a plan B and a plan C. We like to do that because we like to be safe, and we like to be secure. We like to be nestled, if you will, in this little place called our comfort zone. Amen. And I want to talk about that tonight. I want to talk about our comfort zone. Amen. We know what's going to happen when we're in our comfort zone. We know when it's going to happen. Amen. We know how it's going to happen. We've got it all laid out. And we've made plans, like I said, to accommodate anything that would get in the way or get in mind of what we desire or what we're striving for in life. Amen. But what if our comfort zone doesn't line up with God's purpose for our lives? What if our comfort zone doesn't line up with the will of God for our specific life? Amen. What if God has something different in mind for us? What if God has a different plan? What if God has a different purpose? What if God has a different future for us? Amen. We need to default back to the verse that we read where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." There's two words I want to really bring out in that, or two ideas. It says, don't lean upon your own understanding. Amen. If you think that you've got it figured out, double check yourself, triple check yourself. Don't lean upon your own understanding. Amen. And the second one is, it tells us that he will direct your paths. Amen. If you're walking with God and you're going in the right direction, if you're seeking his face daily and you're asking him, God, is this the direction you want me to go? He is going to direct your path in the right way. Amen. But if you're not talking to him, if you're not communicating with him, if you're not drawing close to him, and it's more than just talking to him, but it's listening when he wants to speak to you. Amen. We can do that, and we're all guilty of it. We can talk to God for 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 minutes and never once stop long enough to listen for his voice. Never once stop long enough to allow God to minister to us in our prayer time. Amen. Don't lean on your own understanding, but he will direct your paths or our paths. Amen. You know, that may not be how we have it planned. That may not be the way that we've worked it out in our minds about how it's supposed to go. But what if God's plan is different than our plan? Amen. Amen. Let's look at it tonight. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse, or sorry, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7. This is at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses was writing or recollecting everything that God had showed to him. And he was handing over the mantle, as it were, to this man by the name of Joshua. And verse 7 says, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and have a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." Amen. Joshua here is probably like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. What about Moses? Amen. Moses is supposed to be the leader. Moses is supposed to be the one that says, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." Moses is supposed to be the one that talks to God and hears from God. Amen. He's the one God speaks to and gives revelation to. Joshua could have thought in himself, "This isn't what I signed up for." Amen. I'm all right with being number two or number three in command. Amen. I'll just pass that on to somebody else. You know, the what's the old saying? The buck stops here. Amen. Now Joshua was stuck with that. Amen. Amen. Maybe he had thoughts in his mind, and I don't believe that. I think Joshua was a man after Moses. He followed in the footsteps of Moses. Amen. But maybe he could have said, "Let's just stay on this side of the Jordan." Amen. Maybe you could have said, you know, "God's providing for us here. And, you know, maybe we don't have to go to war. Maybe we can just stay here where it's safe and where it's secure." Maybe Joshua was totally content with following after Moses and not being the leader. But God had other plans for this man. God called Joshua to lead the people into battle and to take the land that God had promised to them. Amen. Joshua could have said no, but you know what? God would have called someone else. God would have used someone else, because God's purpose is going to happen whether he uses you for it or not. Amen. I want to make myself available that God can use me. Amen. I want to make myself available whatever God desires for me, that I'm going to say yes to it. Amen. Because Joshua was willing not to lean to his own understanding, God was able to lead him to many mighty victories. Amen. Joshua overtook much of the promised land that God had promised to his people. Amen. And this was only possible because Joshua was able to get out of his comfort zone. Amen. Another example of this, 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shokoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shokoth and Azekah in Ephesdemim." God bless these names. Amen. "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them." Amen. I've used this story or this scripture before. The children of Israel here were on a mountaintop. Amen. And there was a champion of the tribe of Philistines that was yelling at them from across the way, from across the valley. The Philistines were on another mountaintop. Amen. The Bible says that there was a valley between them. Amen. Goliath of Gath was shouting out, "Send me a man that he may fight, that we may fight one with another." Amen. Amen. Strategically, there was no reason for either party to leave that mountaintop. Amen. The high ground gave them a tactical advantage over their enemy. Amen. No matter how big of an army, if you're on a mountaintop and they're in the valley, you have a tactical advantage over them because you're firing down upon them. You have a better vantage point. Amen. The high ground gave them the strategy that they needed over their enemy. And if the Philistines decided to attack, Israel stood a better chance of winning. Amen. Goliath and the Philistines knew this as well. They didn't try to go out against Israel either, but rather tried to draw them out of their comfort zone by yelling at them, by trying to condemn them, by yelling, you know, "Come out from among them," and cursing their God. Amen. But neither party was willing to go down into the valley. Both armies could have stayed on their respective mountains, and maybe eventually they would have gotten tired and given up and gone home, but that's not likely. Amen. Somebody was going to win this battle. Amen. Nobody likes to be in the valley. Nobody likes to go down into low places. Amen. Everybody would rather be on the mountaintop. Amen. There's safety on top of the mountain. Amen. And there's potential danger in the valley. Amen. But what does God desire? Amen. What is God's will? David didn't have to volunteer to fight this giant. He could have just ran in fear along with the rest of the people. Amen. He could have listened to his brothers that said, "Go home, take care of the sheep, that's where you belong." In fact, everyone, including the king, tried to talk him out of going into the valley to fight against Goliath. Amen. But David understood that God was with him. Amen. And that he was directing his paths. Amen. David understood that God was going to help him and that God was going to give him the strength to win this battle. Amen. David could have relied upon his own wisdom and knowledge. Amen. But he trusted in the Lord God, and God gave him a mighty victory. Amen. Another example, Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. I'm trying to go through these quickly. There's so many examples in the Bible, amen, of people that got out of their comfort zone. There's good examples. There's a lot of good examples of people that didn't get out of their comfort zone, and God wasn't able to use them. Amen. There's people that God was desired to use in a mighty way. Amen. But because they would not hearken to his voice, he went a different route. Or maybe he used them, but he used somebody else beside them so that they didn't get all the glory for what they had done. Amen. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16 says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do." He said, "Hey, wait a second, I've got an idea. This is what I'm going to do." He said, "I'm going to pull down my barns, and I'm going to build greater barns." Amen. "And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." He said, "You know what? I've got this all figured out. I know that I can't fit what I've got in the barns that I've got. So I'm just going to tear those barns down, and I'm just going to go into a little building project. And I'm going to build me bigger barns. Maybe I'll build it 10 times the size of my other barns, because I know that God's going to richly bless me and he's going to give me more increase. Amen. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Amen. You know, we can lay up treasures for ourselves. We can plan and we can figure it all out. Amen. Like I said, we can have contingency plans. We can have contingencies upon contingencies. Amen. We can lay up for ourselves. Amen. But what does God have to say about it? Amen. This is an awesome example of us making plans without first consulting God. It talks about being presumptuous about our future and assuming that tomorrow is guaranteed. Amen. Nothing in this life is guaranteed. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. Amen. So we need to make sure that every day we live, that we are in God's will. Amen. When we went to camp this year, they talked about a young lady that had gotten the Holy Ghost at junior camp a couple years ago. And she passed away this year. She was 10 years old. Amen. God had filled her with the Holy Ghost and she had been baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And they were telling that because it is a victory report that there's no doubt that she is with the Lord in heaven. Amen. But they also used it as an example to us. No matter how old or young we are, no matter how good of health we may be in, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Amen. We don't know what tonight holds. Amen. Whether it be that the Lord comes back for his church and calls his church up, or God calls us individually out into eternity. Amen. We need to make sure that every day that we live, that we are in the will of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18 is another example. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Amen. I can almost visualize, you know, sometimes you read through a story in the Bible, and sometimes you can get a mental picture of what's going on. You can almost visualize this story. I know when I was preparing this, I was thinking about this scene and how it must have played out, how it could have played out. Amen. Jesus yelling out to the brethren. I mean, they're obviously off the shore, maybe out in a boat, and he's yelling out to them across the sea, and he says unto them, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they probably thought to themselves, what did he say? Maybe because he's so far away, I didn't hear him right. But did he say something about making us fishers of men? I don't understand. I don't get it. I mean, we catch fish. We don't catch people. How is this supposed to work? It's almost like Nicodemus when he came to Jesus by night and Jesus told him, you must be born again. And he said, how can this be? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's not what he was referring to. Amen. But he told them, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. These two men had good jobs. Amen. They were doing what they knew. Amen. They were following probably in the family business, and they were probably pretty good at it. Amen. They were making a living by being fishermen. There was security in their work. Amen. They got up every morning and they knew what they were going to do that day. Amen. They got up every morning and they knew, hey, we've got this and we've got to do this and we've got to do this, and they had it laid out and planned out, and by the end of the day they could say that they had accomplished the goals that they had planned for. Amen. There was probably somewhat of a steady income. I know it may have fluctuated depending on the catch, but there was probably a steady income. If they would continue at it, if there were fish in the sea, they would find a way to catch them. And so God would sustain them and give them an income. They knew what they could expect to make from day to day, and wouldn't they could base their lifestyles off of this wage? Amen. Maybe they had a 5-year plan or a 3-year plan. Amen. Maybe they had goals and aspirations of owning something bigger. Maybe they were going to buy another boat. Maybe they were going to go into business for themselves and hire people to be fishers for them and grow the business. Maybe it wasn't just going to be just these two brothers. Amen. But Jesus had other ideas for them. Amen. Jesus wanted these men to step out into the unknown. Amen. He wanted them to leave all that they had ever known and come and follow Him. Talk about stepping out of your comfort zone. Amen. They wouldn't know where their next meal would come from if they would follow Him. Amen. They wouldn't know how they were going to be able to pay for anything if they were going to follow Him. Amen. They didn't know where they were going. He never told them where they were going. At least the Bible doesn't record it. They just knew that He had said to come and follow Him. Amen. I wonder tonight how many of us would have gone. Amen. Think about that tonight. If Jesus were to come onto your job, and let me preface this a little bit, because these men did not know at that time that He was the Messiah. Amen. They may have known that He was a good teacher, or maybe a prophet, if that. But they didn't know that He was the Messiah. Amen. So if someone were to come onto your job tomorrow and say, "Hey, leave that job behind and come and follow Me," we'd look at Him like He had 3 heads. Amen. We'd look at Him like He was crazy. Amen. How many of us would have followed after Him? How many of us would have left everything we knew and everyone that we knew? Amen. To follow after this man. How many of us would have left everything that we've learned up to this point? All the security that's contained therein. Amen. And just follow Him. He didn't say what we were going to do. He just said, follow Him. Praise God. Without any explanation, without any direction, without any details spelled out. Amen. I want to ask you tonight, would you go? Or would you come up with an excuse of why you couldn't? Amen. So when God speaks to you and He calls you to do something for Him, will you go? Or will you come up with an excuse of why you can't? Amen. If God desires to use you in some capacity, amen, or use you further in a different capacity in the kingdom of God, will you go? Or will you come up with an excuse about why you can't? Amen. God will always find somebody to do His work. Amen. If there's somebody that makes an excuse, or somebody that can't do it or won't do it, I should say, amen, God will find somebody to fill the void. God's church will never be without. Amen. But I don't know about you, but I want God to use me in whatever capacity He sees fit. Amen. Whatever door He opens to me, I want to walk through it. I don't want to be dragging and kicking my feet and Him having to pull me through just to get me to go through the door. Amen. But I want to go through it willingly, because God knows better than I do. Amen. And that's what these men did. That's what these apostles did. Verse 20 says, "And they straightway," that means at once or immediately, "left their nets and followed Him." Amen. They didn't ask questions. They could have, or at least the Bible doesn't record it if they do. Maybe whenever they got up to Him, they're like, "Okay, we're going to follow You. Where are we going?" But it doesn't tell us that. They just followed Him. And so I would like to picture it this way, that He just began to walk, and they just followed Him. And maybe nothing was said until they got to the next city or the next village, and they began to witness the works that He was doing. They began to witness His ministry. They began to witness the miracles that He was working. Amen. And they began to know who He was and what He was capable of. Amen. Sometimes when God calls us to something, sometimes when God directs us in something, He doesn't give us everything that we need to see up front. He doesn't give us the revelation completely of how it's going to work out and the steps that it's going to take to get there. But He just calls us to what He desires and wants to see if we're willing to submit with no questions asked. Well, I want you to do this. Maybe the pastor comes to you and says, I want you to be involved in this area. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I'm really busy right now, and I've got a lot of stuff going on, and I don't know that I can take that on right now. And you know what? Pastor will, he's a perfect gentleman too. He won't force you to do it because he knows that he wants people that are submitted to God's will, not doing it because they're forced to do it. Amen. If you're doing something for God and you're doing it out of obligation or out of being forced, amen. God bless you. We appreciate it. But get a burden for it. If you don't have a burden for it, pray that God will give you a burden for whatever area that you're being used in. Amen. Because God wants to use you. God desires to use you, but He wants to use you out of your own free will and out of your own free desire. Amen. These men, they didn't ask any questions. They just followed. Amen. They didn't try to make up excuses or come up with reasons why someone else might be better than them. Well, you know, we're just smelly old fishermen. We don't have any talent. We don't have any ability. God, why don't you? There are very learned people in the city over there. Why don't you go talk to them? They didn't say that. Amen. They just dropped everything they knew and they followed Him. Amen. There's an old saying that says God doesn't call the qualified, but He qualifies the called. Amen. God will not always call you just because you're intelligent or because your abilities or your talents. Amen. In fact, oftentimes God will call you in areas that you do not have talents or abilities in. So that He gets all the glory. So that you can't soak up any of it. Amen. Amen. If you will, Peter and Andrew here stepped completely out of their comfort zones and into the will of God. And we know the end of the story, don't we? We know that they were blessed. We know that God used them mightily. Amen. God used the Apostle Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for the message of the Apostle Peter. Amen. And the Bible says that their names are going to be in the foundations of heaven. Praise God. What if they would have said no? Maybe it wouldn't have said Andrew. Maybe it wouldn't have said Peter. We don't know. I'm glad they did. I'm glad they submitted. Praise God. Let's look at another example. Acts chapter 22 and verse 3. Acts chapter 22 and verse 3. Says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. And taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. We're obviously talking about the Apostle Paul here. Turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. It goes into a little bit more detail about his upbringing. Philippians 3 and verse 4 says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man, other man, thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He said, I trust in my flesh more. Amen. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. This man was in his own words perfect according to the law. Amen. The Apostle Paul here is describing his qualifications as not only a Jew, but as a Pharisee or a religious leader of the Jews. Amen. He had been taught by one of the greatest teachers of his day, Gamaliel. Amen. He had studied and he had learned all that he could in the ways of the Jews. When Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, Paul submitted to the revelation of who Jesus was. Amen. Amen. We know the story, how a bright light shone down from heaven, and he said, Lord, my Lord, my Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus, who you persecute. Amen. There's a good one God scripture for you. Looking up to heaven to God, he said, my God, who are you? He said, I am Jesus, who you persecute. Amen. God could have used him in all of his learning and in all of the wealth of knowledge that he had of the Jewish practices and cultures and of the Jewish law, God could have used him to reach the Jews in a mighty way. Amen. He would have known how to argue with them. He would have known how to respond to them whenever they would throw the law at him, because he knew the law better than they did. Amen. But look at what happens in verse 7. It says, "But what things were gained to me, those things, or those I counted loss for Christ." Amen. Paul could have relied on his own wisdom and knowledge and reached for his fellow Jews, but instead, God called him to someone and something that he knew nothing about. God called him to the Gentiles. Amen. He called him to a people that was an atrocity to him. Amen. As a Jew, these people were beneath him. These people couldn't even be in the same house as him. Amen. These people were like dogs compared to the Jews. Amen. And they looked down upon them. And that's who God called him to preach to. Amen. But he didn't have the ability. Amen. But he didn't have the understanding. He didn't have the knowledge. That's right. God gave it to him. God gave him the words that he needed to say to preach unto the Gentiles. God gave him the direction that he needed to give to them to come unto a place of salvation. Amen. And you know what? Paul had to fight against his fellow Jews in his ministry. Amen. Paul could have relied on his knowledge, but he didn't. Amen. God can use our knowledge. Amen. But most of the time when he does, amen, we get puffed up with pride. Amen. Amen. If we have all learning and all understanding and all knowledge, amen, that we know more than everybody else knows, we know more about the Bible than anybody else knows, we know more about holiness than anybody else knows, what happens? We get puffed up in pride. Amen. Amen. We think it was something in our ability or in our talent, but in reality, God was the one who gave us all the knowledge in the first place. Amen. If we understand anything, we need to thank God for it. If we have any knowledge, if we have any revelation, if we have any wisdom, it comes down from heaven. Amen. We don't have it in and of ourselves. Amen. Well, but I read my Bible, but I study my Bible. Praise God. Amen. But you would not have a revelation if it weren't for God opening your eyes to see it. Amen. Amen. There were men in the day of Jesus that heard the parables, that heard the teaching of him, and they didn't hear it. He said, "You have ears, but you cannot hear. You have eyes, but you cannot see." Amen. Unless Jesus opens our eyes and our ears, we cannot have a revelation of who he is and what his will is. Amen. God gives us all things. Amen. Paul understood here that God had a better plan for him, and he was willing to submit on his own will, if you will, to whatever God had for him, whatever God called him to do. Amen. The Bible doesn't record any place where Paul questions him. It doesn't record any place where he says, "Well, God, wouldn't it be better?" You know, God doesn't need our suggestions. Amen. We can talk to God, and we should, and we should lift our voices to God and tell him what we're thinking. Amen. When you're praying, and I do this oftentimes, "God, this is the direction I feel to go." Amen. But don't stop there. Don't just tell God the direction that you're going. Amen. But go beyond that and say, "God, this is the direction that I'm going, or I feel to go. God, but if it's not in your will, I ask that you close every door before me." That's what I pray. Amen. "God, if it's your will, God, open every door before me, God, so that I know that it's you. Don't let it just be a little window that I climb through, God, but let it be double doors swung wide open so that I know that it's in your will." Amen. And God will speak to you. If you have a humble heart, if you have a desirous heart to seek after his will, God will speak to you. And if you tell him, "God, this is the direction I'm wanting to go," he'll speak to you and he'll say, "You know what? I've got something better for you. Amen. I've got a different direction for you. I've got a different purpose for you. I've got a different word for you." Amen. God can use that opportunity to speak to you if you have an open heart. Amen. The last example I want to use tonight is our ultimate example, the Lord Jesus. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 14. We can probably quote this. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 11 says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Amen. God, the Creator of all things, could have stayed up in heaven. Amen. He could have allowed the world to destroy itself and all the people that were contained therein. And that's what would have happened. Amen. This world would not be here. And if it was, it would not be what it is today. Amen. He could have allowed us to destroy one another. Amen. God could have made us pay the price for our own sins. Amen. In the Old Testament, they rolled the sins back year after year, but they didn't get rid of them. They were still there. It was almost like compound interest. Amen. It just kept building and building and building to a place where you couldn't ever pay it back off. Amen. But He could have made us to pay the price for our own sins. Amen. And you know what? He would have been justified in doing so. Amen. But God showed us an example of submission by becoming obedient to the death of the cross. Amen. God became submitted unto His own will, unto what He desired for His people by coming down, by robing Himself in flesh, and by allowing Himself to be crucified on the cross. Amen. If you will, God stepped out of His comfort zone, if He has one, and came down and robed Himself in flesh to become sin for all mankind. Amen. To pay the price for my sins and to pay the price for your sins. Amen. That's what He did. He didn't have to. Amen. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Amen. It means that whenever we sin, whenever we transgress, whenever we do something that's against the will of God, that the wages or what we receive in return for that is death. That's what every single one of us deserve. Amen. Every single one of us deserve to die for our sins. Amen. That's the payment that we receive for our sins. Amen. But the gift of God is everlasting life. Amen. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. God came down to pay the price for our sins. Amen. There are other examples in the Bible. Abraham left his family. Amen. God called him and said, leave your family and leave your kindred and all that you know. Leave the Ur of the Chaldees and go into the land that I will show you, a land that flows with milk and honey. He promised just something to Abraham, but Abraham could have said, no, you know what? My whole family's here. This is all I know. I'm just going to stay here. Amen. But no, he followed God's will and he was blessed because of it. Amen. And we are blessed because of it. Amen. The Bible says that through Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Amen. If you're blessed tonight, is anybody here blessed tonight? I know I am. If you're blessed tonight, it's because of Abraham. Amen. Because of the Abrahamic covenant, God blessed Abraham and the descendants. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham. Amen. It's because of him that we are blessed. Joseph is another good example. Joseph endured hardship. Joseph endured difficulty on every side. Joseph is a picture of Jesus Christ. Amen. How Jesus suffered wrongfully. He went wrongfully to be beaten and to be scourged. Amen. And that's what happened to Joseph. He was thrown into prison. He was sold into slavery. He had difficulty on every side. But he still chose to keep a good attitude towards God. And he still chose to follow after the plan that God had laid out for him. Amen. Joseph didn't know what was going to happen. He could have gotten bitter when he was first sold into slavery, but he didn't. Amen. He could have gotten bitter whenever he was thrown into prison wrongfully accused, but he didn't. Amen. He could have gotten bitter when he was left there for all of those years, but he didn't. And eventually, God restored him to a place of prominence, to a place of leadership and rulership. He was the second in command, the prime minister of the then known world. But it was only able to take place because he was able to be submitted to God's will. Amen. And so we have to decide tonight, are we willing to get out of our comfort zone? Are we willing to follow after what God desires for us? Amen. Amen. I don't know. That's a rhetorical question. I'm not asking anybody to answer it. But are you willing to step out of your will and come to God's will? Are you willing to be submitted unto what God desires for your life? Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Amen. We may think that we've got it all figured out in this life. Amen. I know before I came to God, when I was in the world, I thought I had it all figured out. Amen. I had a plan. And usually it wasn't too long and that plan would fall apart. And then I would come up with another plan. Amen. And I was striving to find a place of happiness. I was striving to find a place of peace. And I couldn't find it. Amen. I would find it for a little while in alcohol. I would find it for a little while in drugs. I would find it a little while in different things in the world. Amen. But it was never lasting. Amen. It never lasted. I would always go back to a place of emptiness. I would always go back to a place of need. Amen. I would always try to go back to my comfort zone, but my comfort zone was an empty hole. Amen. I felt empty without God. And you know what I was? I was empty because there was a place in me that only the presence of God could fill. Amen. I'm glad that I came to a Bible study one day and that somebody told me how I could find that happiness and that joy that I was searching for. Somebody told me that there was a better way to live. Amen. Oh, well, you're getting all preachy. No, I'm glad that somebody told me that there was a better way to live. Amen. I didn't have to try to find my own happiness. I just had to find God. Amen. And God was able to supply my happiness. Amen. I didn't have to try to find peace. Amen. I just had to find God. And God was able to give me peace. Amen. Acts chapter number 2 and verse 38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Amen. That's how you find peace. That's how you find real joy. Amen. You turn away from your sins. Amen. All that you've been doing that's against the will of God, you're walking away from God, and you turn away from it, and you do an about face. That's repentance. It's asking God, "God, I'm sorry. God, I didn't want to do this. God, I'm sorry for the sins that I did. I'm sorry for not doing your will. I'm sorry for not following after your commandment. God, forgive me." And forgiveness is a part of repentance. Amen. But there, it's more than that. It goes beyond just asking God to forgive us. It goes to a place of submission. It goes to a place of commitment to God. "God, I ask that you would forgive me of this, God, but I'm committing to you that I'm not going to go in this direction anymore. I'm turning my back upon this sin. I'm turning my back upon this old lifestyle." Amen. And then when God comes down and God hears that, amen, then we're baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission or the washing away of our sins. Amen. God allows our sins, all of those evil things, all of the things in our past, He washes them away. And the Bible says He remembers them no more. Does that mean God doesn't remember? No. He just doesn't count them against us. Amen. Those sins are there. Those sins and the consequences are still there. Amen. But God just doesn't count them against us. God no longer holds them against you. Amen. And when you're baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission and the washing, you come up out of that water a new creature. Amen. You come up out of that water whole and purified. Amen. And then it says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. When God fills you, amen, with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. When God fills you with His precious Spirit, it not only rejuvenates you and gives you that joy and that peace, amen, but it gives you the ability to stand strong in the commitments that you made to God. It gives you the ability to make and to keep the commitments that you made to Him. "God, I'm not going to go in this direction anymore." Amen. If you have the Holy Ghost, you don't have to. Amen. If you have the Holy Ghost, God will give you the strength to overcome all temptation. If you have the Holy Ghost, God will give you the ability to overcome all sin. Amen. That's because God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. We can try to figure it all out on our own. Amen. We can read self-help books. We can try to come up with, we can listen to tapes. We can listen to people in our lives. We can listen to, you know, the people that tell us this, that, or the other. Amen. But what does God's word say about it? Amen. What does the word of God say? What is the will of God for your life? Amen. Because his ways are higher than our ways. He sees things that we don't, and he knows what the future holds in our lives. Amen. And so we need to be submitted unto his will. Amen. We can have our plans and we can have our programs, and there's nothing inherently wrong with having plans. Amen. We can plan and prepare for things, and we should, but we always need to make sure that we are continually seeking the will of God in our lives. Amen. Whatever it may be, whatever direction it may lead us, wherever it has us to go, we need to make sure that we're seeking for God's will. Amen? Amen. Why don't we stand together tonight? Amen. Are you thankful for the Word of God? I'm thankful for God's Word. I'm thankful that one day He saw not what I was, but He saw who I could be. He had hope. Amen. He had hope in me. Amen. And I don't want to disappoint Him. I don't want that hope to fall short, but I want when I stand before Him on the day of judgment, I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Amen. Does anybody else feel that way tonight? Amen. Amen. Why don't we give Him a hand clap of praise right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we love you today, God. We praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. God bless each and every one of you. Pray for one another this week. Amen. Let's continue to pray for those that are sick. Ask God to lift them up. Amen. And let's continue to keep Sister Stacy and Brother and Sister Worse in our prayers as they travel, that God would bring them safely home. Amen. 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 We need them here. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Greet one another. Feel free to be dismissed tonight in Jesus' name.